5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, welcome to another Tech Talk. Yes, we are still going with the show despite COVID-19. We are pushing back against the virus and we are still here. We're still doing the show every week and we will continue to do so as long as we physically can, mentally as well. Maybe Robin Christofferson may have more of a challenge with that because he has to deal with me every week. Hello, Robin.
Hello. Hello, everyone. I am suitably socially separated.
Good. Yes, we're all socially distanced here because you are in your castle on an English moor. I'm in my tiny little room upstairs in my castle. And Andy's at the top of his castle in the city of Glasgow. Yeah, absolutely. Hello to you all. And Andy's there as well. Hello, Andy.
Hello. Yes, I am social distanced and suitably disinfected.
Right. I didn't need to know that much information, but I'm glad I do now. I feel better for knowing that now. Yeah, look, we've got lots to talk about this week, lots of news to get to, and we'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, we talked a lot last week about the Amazon Echo, and I love talking about this device, and I know people say, oh, here we go again, Amazon Echo. But there's so much you can do with the Amazon Echo. And over this weekend, actually next week, we're going to be talking about some other wonderful things. Got a great interview coming up on next week's show. Let's do this one first before we get too excited about next week's. Next week's show is going to be great. This one, but no, this is going to be a great show, I promise you. Brilliant show. Stick around. Well worth your hour. Where else are you going? Let's be honest. Okay, so coming up, we are going to talk about the wonderful things you can do with your Amazon Echo. And it's actually not just the device, but the skills and the things you can do. Like, for example, Robin, we're going to talk about calendars. We're going to talk about all of the wonderful tools, utilities you can use on there, alarms as well. Things basically to build a routine into our lives, which is really important right now, I think.
Yeah, you know, entertainment definitely is a factor as well, but we'll be covering that on a future show. But yeah, people, I think, underestimate what you can do on your A-Lady to be organized and, you know, just have a structure to your day. They think it's, you know, primarily for music and, you know, games and stuff like that, which it certainly is. But yeah, we're going to be looking at the more kind of productivity side this week.
And not just that, but also, I mean, we talk about lists quite a lot on the show and the importance of lists and using lists. But I didn't realize this. You can actually connect a printer to your Amazon Echo as well. I mean, how cool is that?
If you've got an HP one.
Yeah, so it's just the HP one.
Well, this skill is we're going to look at. But if people know of other ones that they've come across for other makes of wireless printer in their home, then, you know, please do let us know.
Okay. Listen, I have to tell you, right, this is the joy of working from home. My little dog Dougal is going to make an appearance. You might hear him in the background barking away. I can't stop him barking, and I'm not going to stop him barking because I'm working from home. What else can you expect, guys? Funnily enough, actually, Robin, I heard you the other night when we were on WhatsApp, and there was a dog barking in your house. Do you have a dog?
Yeah, we've got an extra family member.
I know you got the guide dog, but I didn't know that. It sounded like a small dog.
It is. It's a Shih Tzu. Is that what I'm allowed to say on radio?
Is that what it is?
But it's a tiny little dog. So yeah, we've got an extra body and an extra dog that's with us for the foreseeable. And
hang on a minute, is that allowed?
Chanel might make an appearance in the background as well. But I've also got two very large children that are probably as well trained as Dougal. So they might be too noisy in the background as well. well, the housebroken, at least, anyway.
Right, okay. Andy, are you housebroken? No, have you got a...
I beg your pardon. no, the only thing that's going to be making noises is me, and maybe my chair, because I'm a bit squeaky on this chair.
Yeah. Do you know, I noticed this as well. Right? I've got an office chair. It's one of these cheapy office chairs, and I'm not in it that often. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm a guy of a considerable stature. And you go. And I'll be honest, this chair is struggling. So I've ordered a new one. Hopefully it'll be delivered soon. And then I'll be in a better place because this chair is struggling. Anyway, that's quite enough sharing for one day, I think. did not want to go there, but there we are. Okay, let's get into the news. There's lots to talk about. And iOS 13.4 is out. And one of the things it gives, and actually it must be the iPadOS version of this, gives you touchpad or trackpad support on the iPad Pro. Actually, although it is coming to the and is on the new iPad Pros with a new keyboard that's actually coming with a trackpad built in, you can hook up, I think, not just a trackpad, Robin, but also a mouse as well to your iPad Pro, even last year's model?
Yes, I think I'm right in saying that mouse support preceded trackpad support. There must be some additional funkiness about supporting multiple gestures in the trackpad.
Yeah, you're right, because what happened was they had the mouse support, which was actually an accessibility thing,
yep,
but now it's mainstream.
Absolutely. And before, it was kind of an adaptation of assisted touch, was it?
Yes, that's right.
But now it's full blown. And apparently it's really sexy, the kind of arrow transitions or cursor transitions. They've done it really, really well. And you will have a kind of a full desktop experience when it comes to using a pointing device on iOS. And there have been rumors recently about ARM powered Macs, that's the chips that are in iOS that support all your iDevices, coming to the Mac soon. And everything's just coming together.
No,
it's all just converging.
Terrible, terrible. Please don't make it happen. It's awful. Well, look, ARM. So here's the thing about ARM. I'm not sure how it's going to work on a Mac, but on a PC, good luck using JAWS, because that's not going to be very good. And I'm hearing that from various people, and these aren't people who know nothing. These are people who know things more than me.
Oh, absolutely. But you're looking at Windows there.
Yeah, well, that's true. I don't know what the experience on Windows or on Mac will be like. I will be intrigued to know. But yeah, I don't see the point of this trackpad support. Not for a blind person. I mean, what are you going to gain out of it, Robin? What am I going to gain out of this?
It all depends, and I haven't tried it, so or kind of read up on how much support it will have for multi-touch gestures. So for people that have used a Mac, there are loads of gestures, and obviously they're all programmable as well. And all of those should be coming to iOS. So one gesture that I've set up on my iPhone, instead of the rotor with two fingers sort of spinning around the screen, I've got a two-finger swipe right and left for moving between rotor items, and I love it. I really love that. So that's the sort of thing that could come to a separate trackpad in the Magic Keyboard that is going to be coming out soon, or just with a separate Bluetooth trackpad if that's what you want. When you're, some people are using their iPad or iPhone as their main device, and they might well be using a separate keyboard and now trackpad too.
Yeah, but can I just ask a really obvious question?
Use the screen.
Yeah. The screens are it's the biggest trackpad you'll ever get.
It is, yeah. I mean, that's a good question. What will it offer to blind people? I suppose if you get overwhelmed by the size of an iPad screen, for example, and you want to just have that propped up and only use it occasionally, if you're low vision, say, and you've got Zoom going on that thing, then to be able to drive the experience from a keyboard and a trackpad, which is what you might be used to on a Mac or on your desktop PC, then maybe that, I don't know.
Ah, there we go. That's that's the answer I was hoping you'd come out with. I've broken Robin, Andy. I've broken him.
It's only taken how many episodes?
Yeah. Okay, well, look, I don't want to get into iOS 14 too much. I know there's lots of accessibility improvements coming. I've heard about hearing impairments and improvements there. In particular, one I was reading about, which I think I've got this right, where it was suggesting that the phone would be able to identify sounds and be able to sort of say, say if a glass smashed or there was a doorbell ringing or something happened, that the phone would be able to relay that in some way.
Yeah, and I think this is really, really useful for people with a hearing impairment and potentially for everyone, because you could have, an iDevice left at home. You might be out and about and you've got your iPad in the house somewhere. And just like these iDevices are always listening for the wake word, for H-E-Y-S-I-R-I, they could, from this new version of iOS, be listening out for doorbells, sirens, smoke alarms, knocking on the door, doorbells, and, breaking glass and stuff like that. And whilst it's meant for a hearing impaired person to get those alerts flashing up on their screen, etc. You could have those alerts coming up on any device, even if you're out of the house. So I think there might be some sort of security implications or benefits for us as well. A bit like the A-Lady has had with her kind of burglar mode in the US, hasn't come to us yet, but she can do that too.
Yeah, which is great. And I think it's great that Apple are doing this as well. Just a couple of other things on Apple, since we're here. We've got to mention the iPhone. I said it would be called the iPhone SE, and I've been proved right again. Thank you, guys. Yes, the iPhone SE will be appearing. This is all rumour, by the way. I mean, who knows what it's going to be called. But there is a suggestion because they put up, or Belkin, I think it was, had a phone screen protector that had gone up, and it said on it it was for the SE/7/8. So the suggestion is it must be going to be called the iPhone SE, because, you know, it would be the same size as the iPhone 8, which is what's rumoured, and that's probably, you know, it'll be the style of an iPhone 8, but the guts of an iPhone 11 to some degree. So that's what's due to happen, and apparently it is coming soon. Who knows, by the time you're listening to this on the repeat, or, you know, whatever, or on a podcast later in the week, it might be here.
And I think it will just drop silently with a press release or something, as we've seen with the updates to the MacBooks, the iPad, etc. So, yeah, I think it'll just drop and we'll know then for sure. It's funny, I think, is this the first time that they have given a device the same name as a completely different device? Well, the Mac Mini, I suppose you have to say it's late such and such 2012 or something. I suppose you could say that about... Yeah, no, of course they have with other devices as well, haven't they? iPads and stuff. But yeah, I mean, there are going to be two iPhone SE models out there.
Well, no. Oh, you mean the Plus as well, are you?
No, the old 5S form factor.
That's gone, Robin. Who cares about
that? People are still using them. But yeah, I was just wondering, just pontificating. But yeah, it could be SE. Maybe SE2, but not if this Belkin...
Well, that's what everyone's looking to.
Leak is all right.
And the reason that leak seems so credible is because that was actually, that appeared on the Apple website. Somebody clearly is working from home on the... on the Apple shop front, and you know, they've not got the memo about how to publish things quietly. And some eagle-eyed person found this in the shop, and it was very quickly, of course, pulled down as a result of that. But yeah, that went up, and also I think it wasn't there a mention on the website as well, on the Apple website, about Apple Tags? Did you see that one?
Yes, yeah, they're definitely coming.
Yeah.
Definitely coming, and that could drop at the same time in the same release, or just a, you know, any day now, I think we'll get those. So these are the Tile and Tracker competitors, which Tile in particular have been quite upset about, because they have a built-in advantage over the Tile product, because every single iPhone is going to be able to detect where your lost keys are or whatever as people walk past within Bluetooth range. But they're going to be pricier than Tile, so, you know, maybe they won't directly compete, but I'm interested in getting one, seeing how well they work, and particularly with iOS 13 now, where they're much tighter about security. I don't know about you, but I've certainly had notifications from my Tile app saying that, you know, it's lost connection because you need to reallow the location services and stuff like that. So I can see why they're upset. They haven't got the same privileges as a first party Apple product would have.
Just on that point about the iOS 13.4, I just want to go back to that for a second, because I wanted to ask you, have you experienced any apps just being really hard to navigate, or generally system response being pretty slow on the iPhone since 13.4 downloaded to yours?
No, I have had to reboot my phone twice because of, and I can't actually remember what the reasons were now, but things just weren't feeling right. I think one of them was in the A-Lady app, just tapping on things weren't doing anything at all. And it's not the best app at the best of times, but a reboot sorted that out. So yeah, maybe there's a certain amount of weirdness going on there. But yeah, so what have you experienced?
Just that. I mean, I was in actually the Amazon app, and which is really unusual for me, I know. And it just whatever I was tapping on just would not respond. And it would respond, but almost as if I was dealing with a Pentium 3 iPhone, where, you know, it would kind of get there, but, you know, in its own time. And the end result was I had to reboot the phone, and it was better after that. But, yeah, there's maybe something in it. But you're right. If you just, you know, get the phone, get it rebooted, then you'll probably be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, look, I want to talk about JAWS and Zoom Text. Sorry, I need a drink here. I'm just very conscious of the fact my throat's very dry. This little room I have upstairs in my house is not what I would call the best room for doing a radio show, because it's so warm. And Andy will know only too well, sitting with me in the studios that we have in our facilities in Glasgow, air conditioning is a must for me.
Yes, set to Arctic, yeah.
So this is difficult. I'm in here in this tropical climate at the moment. I feel like I'm in the Amazon, and I don't mean the store. But let's talk about JAWS and Zoom Text, because we heard in the US that Freedom Scientific were offering customers, in fact, Vespero, the group that actually owns Freedom Scientific, they were offering free temporary licenses for, what was it, a couple of months? Something like that?
45 days, so a month and a half.
Right,
but okay. I've got a feeling that they just put their, you know, finger in the air as to that number of days.
Yeah, probably.
Because who knows how long this is going to go on for. And they would look really mean if they yanked that back halfway through everybody having to isolate. So I've got a feeling that'll be a movable feast. But absolutely, yeah. Here in the UK, if you email support@sightandsound.co.uk, then you can request that. And I'm sure that they will oblige. But yeah, 45 days, full licensed version for JAWS and Zoom Text.
Yeah, nice. Well, yeah, check out Sight and Sound. That's the retailer that sells Freedom Scientific products here in the UK. So if you want to get JAWS or Zoom Text, try it out. Well, you know, this is a good time. Maybe you've been holding off, and maybe you've got a bit more time in your hands as a result of this virus, you know, at home. Then maybe this is a good time to try it out. There's lots of tutorials popping up online as well to teach people how to use it, which is great. So, yeah.
I think a lot of people may not be able to bring their work machine home, particularly if it's a tower.
Yeah, that's true.
And to recreate it as close as possible. I mean, we all know that screen readers have a million different keystrokes, and it can be really disconcerting. Even though NVDA, for example, has brought its set of keyboard commands very much closer to JAWS in recent versions, there's still going to be a lot of edge cases where you press something and you don't, you know, you expect one thing and you get another. So to be able to use that full version of JAWS, say, on your home machine, to just carry on being productive and, you know, not have to kind of overcome that huge hurdle of learning a different screen reader, I think that's really, really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's talk about Audible, because here at RNIB, we have the RNIB Reading Services Library, which has now gone online. You can get it through the website. You can also now get the downloads from RNIB's Talking Books Library direct to Easy Reader as well. That's the Dolphin app on iOS and Android, which is brilliant. And that's going really well. I mean, we're getting lots of interesting feedback about it. And of course, some people having difficulties with it, other people getting on really well with it, and lots in between. So, you know, keep your comments coming in on that, and we will get to the emails soon and have a peek in the mailbag and see if anyone's mentioning it this week. Again, the email address is techtalk@rnib.org.uk. But yeah, Audible, of course, is the paid-for option, but they are offering a lot of free books at the moment, Robin.
Yes, they are. So if you just go to your Audible app or the website, and it will be very prominently displayed, the free titles that they've got, and there's a good range in there. Apple are actually doing the same thing as well. So if you go to the Books app on your iOS device, then go to the Bookstore tab, which is the middle tab at the bottom there. Then again, you know, prominently advertised free titles, and you've got everything there as well, from kids to adults. And they're not all just the classic out of copyright ones like War of the Worlds and stuff like that. There's in both Audible and Apple, they are modern day, you know, more recent titles, a really good selection. And I would also say, you know, with the A-Lady at the beginning of every month, for the whole of each month, there are three free full titles on Audible to listen to as well. So loads of options there.
All right. How do you access those? through Hey Lady.
What are your free books? Or simple as what are your new free books this month? Or yeah,
I didn't know that. Interesting.
Yeah,
thank you.
And they're not all out of copyright either. They're, you know, there was Michael Palin around the world. I mean, some of them are, like, I think this week, this month, you've got Rudyard Kipling's Just So stories, etc. But there's only three, but they're a good selection. You know, they kind of aren't all on murder mystery or something like that. So chances are there should be something that would tickle you there.
Brilliant. Okay. And tell us about QC Salon, because you're determined to talk about this week. You put it in the notes. And I don't know what it is. Is this a new place you're going to get your hair done, or?
I wish. I'm glad it's not a video podcast, this one. If you are into games of the board stroke table variety, so Monopoly, Backgammon is another one. They've actually got dozens at this website, which the URL is qcsalon.net. And if you go there, you can sign up for free. You can join any one of dozens of tables, as they're called, which are active at any one time. So if you register and log in, you'll see, oh, blimey, look, there's a Farkle game in progress. There's a bingo game. There's a blackjack game, you know, and they're all very accessible. There is also a desktop app that you can download free of charge if you prefer to do it rather than in the browser. But in the browser is really accessible too. And the really good thing about this, well, there are lots of good things. It's free. There's loads of choice and it's very accessible, is that it has visuals. So this isn't just a text-driven environment that is really just for people with a vision impairment, and it's going to be a relatively bland experience for everybody else. There are good visuals associated with every single game. So you could do this with your sighted friends. And
that's good.
Everyone could log on. Yeah. So you could either join an online game and you would obviously be paired up with other people that are waiting, or you can just do it locally as a multiplayer game, and the visuals will be appealing for people that have got sight as well.
Okay, cool. All right, well, look, let's move on, because I want to get back to the Amazon Echo and practical uses for it. And one thing, Robin, you want to tell us about this week, well, actually, another member of the blind community wants to tell us about this week, is the ways that we can use the Echo to help set up a good routine, which, of course, at the moment is key in our lives.
Absolutely. So the setting up of lists, etc., is really important. And, you know, managing what's in your fridge is probably even more important than ever. So you can use the Echo for list management and even printing out lists to really help you stay organized and on top of what you need to do every single day during this lockdown period.
And we're going to talk about that in more detail soon. But first, we're going to hear from one of your contributors to the Dot to Dot podcast, who got in touch with you to talk about, in particular, things like calendars as well. Is that right?
Yes, it is. So I've obviously introed the wrong...
I was going to just gloss over
you
that one
so
point.
You were so smooth there.
That was so
that
beautiful.
Was just, I could have just gone with it, but obviously nobody would have been fooled
no one
by
would have
that.
Had a clue. You could just have said, yeah, absolutely, Stephen, I have no idea what you're talking about, and carried on.
So yeah, this is about how you can manage your calendar to make sure that you are, you know, on top of the things that you need to do each day.
This is David Ward with the New Vision program at Goodwill. Just bringing you a little tip about snoozing alarms, adjusting timers, and furthermore, resurrecting, if you will, reminders that are going off and you're like, no, I need to be reminded of that in another hour or so. All right. So it's pretty cool. So let's start with snoozing. Snoozing is one I use a lot because my alarm clock is my Echo every morning, which goes off, and it's to Dave's wake-up playlist with a lot of energizing music. But sometimes I don't feel like being energized, and so I need to just snooze that bad boy. So how do you go about doing that? Well, let's set an alarm and see. Alexa, what time is it?
It's 2:57 p.m.
Alexa, set an alarm for 2:59 p.m.
Second alarm set for 2:59 p.m.
Okay, so in a moment it'll go off, and at that point I can tell it to snooze. Now, if I tell her to snooze, she's just going to by default snooze for 10 minutes and then go off again. And that's even if she's playing music. You have her wake up to your favorite music or whatever. But I can specify an increment as well. I can say snooze for 10 minutes, 15, 30, 25, 21, whatever I want it to be. And then it will go, it will snooze for that increment and then come back on and wake me up, hopefully. All right. So let's just see what that'll sound like. She should be going off. There she is. Alexa, snooze for 20 minutes.
Okay. Snoozing for 20 minutes.
All right. It's just that easy. Now let's discuss timers. Imagine you're cooking something in an oven, say a pizza, and you have a little bit of time left on it. You know it's getting close. You don't want it to burn, but you go in there, you look at that bad boy, and you go, oh, it needs another 5 minutes. So what do? Well, let's just set a timer and see. Alexa, create a timer for 15 seconds called Pizzas in the Oven.
Pizzas in the Oven timer, 15 seconds, starting now.
So that bad boy's about to go off, but I need to add 5 minutes. Alexa, add 5 minutes to my timer.
5 minutes added. You now have about 5 minutes and 6 seconds left.
And there you go. It will go off here in that specified time. So, pretty cool. All right. Alexa, cancel timer.
Pizzas in the Oven timer canceled.
Okay, so let's move on to reminders. Now, this one is super for me. Imagine you have a reminder, and it's going off, but you're in the middle of something. But you don't want to forget the important thing you got to do. So let me set in a reminder real quick. Alexa, create a reminder called payroll.
When should I remind you?
15 seconds.
Okay, I'll remind you in 15 seconds.
Okay, so she's going to go off here a little bit and, you know, ding, ding, typical reminder, and even tell me what it's for. That's why I love reminders. They tell me what they're for. But imagine I'm in the middle of something. I'm writing an important email. I'm at home washing dishes. I don't got time to do whatever the thing is.
Reminder. Hero.
Okay, so I think she got the label a little wrong on there, but she's going off. That's an important thing.
This is a reminder. Hero.
Okay, so anyway, she'll go off. Now, let's say I basically need to resurrect that reminder or push it back another hour. All I have to do is say, Alexa, repeat that reminder in 1 hour.
Okay, I'll remind you again in 1 hour.
Okay, so there it is. It's that easy. All she's got to do is, and she'll come back up in an hour and repeat the exact same thing. All right, so those are just some handy little tips for you dot-to-dot listeners. I hope you found that hopefully helpful. My name again is David Ward with the New Vision Program at Goodwill. You can check out what I'm doing at goodwillvalleys.com/newvision, or you can always check out our Echo Tips podcast.
There you go. Really interesting things you can do there with the timers and the calendars and all of that, which is really, really brilliant. Of course, that audio featured on your dot-to-dot podcast, Robin, which is brilliant.
Yeah. And
I just wanted to ask as well, because we did get an email in about this, someone asking how to get your podcast. So what can people do to do that?
Yeah, so they can just ask the Echo for to play the dot-to-dot podcast. If you enunciate it, then it should hopefully play that fine. Or you can ask her to enable the daily 5-minute skill demo show, which is the flash briefing version. And of course, you can get the dot-to-dot podcast on any podcatcher of choice. So I'm not on good form this week at all, am I? The reason why I mentioned calendar in the intro to that one that is basically about managing things throughout your day, using tips, alarms and reminders, and more importantly, how you can reschedule those. That's the key thing here, because you probably know, you all know how to, you know, set alarms, reminders and what was the other one? Timers. But to be able to push those forward by a certain amount it was new to me before he submitted that dot-to-dot episode. And I think it's really important that you know that you can say things like set a recurring reminder.
Mm.
So that's, and yes, obviously say what the reminder's for, etc. Now, the reason why I mentioned calendar is because I dropped David an email asking if it would be okay for us to use that dot to dot demo on Talking Tech on Tech Talk, and he said that was fine.
Are you all right this week?
All over the place. So he said that was fine, and he also said, by the way, what we mentioned last week, which was that you can't search for a dentist appointment or something on your Echo, isn't true in the States. So in the States, you can say, when's my next doctor's appointment? And she will tell you that doesn't work over here in the UK, which is why I didn't think it would work. So I wanted to update the listeners over and above what we said last week about calendars. If you're somewhere lucky, then you can also ask the A-lady when your next appointment is for a particular thing.
Well, look, just actually on that, some programming notes and some tidy ups from last week as well. We heard from Eden, who talked to David Woodbridge about the experience of the Bristol Braille Commute. And it all seemed pretty good, although it didn't quite go to plan, because Eden actually got in touch with us to say that since the recording of that interview, she actually sent back the device because it was, well, let's just say it was getting a bit warm. Is that putting it mildly?
She couldn't stand the heat. Yeah. I mean, she had it on her lap and she was reading it. She was using it for 45 minutes and it got to 107 degrees Fahrenheit, wow, which sounds very hot. It's actually 42 degrees centigrade, which is very hot. So, yeah, she's actually sent it back. I would think it's engineered to work at that temperature. You know, they must be aware of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you want something that you can sit and read with on your lap and it's uncomfortably hot, then, you know, you're probably perfectly entitled to decide that it maybe it isn't for you, certainly at that price. So
it doesn't come across as a device, and we said this last week, it doesn't come across as a device that you would sit with on your lap. But I understand why somebody might want that, because ultimately, you know, if you think about it, that's the perfect reading position. If any Braille reader will sit there with the book in their lap and read. They won't sit there with it on a table. You want to just relax in your comfy chair and read your book. That's the whole point. So, yeah, this device may well be able to operate at that temperature, and that may be perfectly normal, but it doesn't create a very usable experience for people who want to use it in that way. That's the challenge, isn't it? That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, we've probably all experienced using laptops and things on our lap and that getting uncomfortably hot.
Well, and the irony is it's called a laptop. I mean, yeah, the clue's in the name. It is supposed to be able to sit in your lap, but actually it could burn your lap. I mean, my MacBook gets roasting when I'm using it on my lap, and I can't do it. I actually bought one of these things. It's got like a kind of foam-filled beanbag cushion, and there's a kind of plastic tray attached to the top of it, and that's what I use. I sit there like, I don't know, I won't want to say what I look like, but I look a bit crazy anyway. And, you know, I sit there with it, and I think it's got lovely red and pink dots on it. Very fetching, I've got to say. And I just sit there and I use my laptop on it. Although the only problem is my laptop, I think MacBooks have got very slidey feet.
Yes, so not at all grippy. No.
So it's not ideal. Anyway, what else did I want to mention? Was something else I wanted to bring up about last week's show. Maybe it wasn't. I do want to bring up a topic, though, about an email I got this week, actually. And we're going to get to the emails in a minute with Andy. But the one that I got this week that I wanted to mention relates to an interview that's coming up on Tech Talk in a couple of weeks' time. And it's actually because I'd like to get your feedback on this. Not you two, but our listeners. Because Stuart Beveridge got in touch with us to tell us about the L Braille. And he says he'd love to come on to Tech Talk and talk about it, because he thinks it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I think there's lots of us out there who may be wondering, okay, what's great about it? And, you know, maybe even considering buying one of these. If you are interested in the L Braille and you have questions, email in techtalk@rnib.org.uk. I'll actually be interviewing Stuart in the next week or so. So try and get your questions in as quick as you can to that email, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, and we'll talk about the L Braille. And, you know, if you've got questions that you want answered about it, then Stuart is happy to answer them. So we'll get him on in the next couple of weeks. And next week, I was mentioning earlier about next week's interview, we're going to hear about another Echo skill, this time from the Galloway Society for the Blind, who've developed a skill. This was all done, Robin, with volunteers. volunteer who takes time to give a lot of his time to the organization, Peter, he gave this time to actually create the skill. And of course, although it wasn't built to coincide with this pandemic, you know, to sort of continue getting information out there to people, even though they can't get to the society itself, actually, it's kind of worked out for the best, because this was all in planning, you know, way before all this. And now it's been launched and is available. You know, you're able to, in this case of this local society in Lancashire, able to get your information, you know, just by asking the air, which is just incredible. So we're going to hear from Andrew Coleman on the show next week. He is here to tell us all about that. He's the Assistive Technology Coordinator. Big fan of the show. Likes me better than you two. We'll just skip over that.
Certainly will after this week's episode. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, so next week's episode sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be the best episode ever. Okay, right, look, where are we? Let's get some emails. I feel so weird because all my usual setup is just everything's all over the place at the moment. I know I always sound all over the place, but this point I am really all over the place. But I think we should get on and talk about the emails, because I know we wanted to talk about our Bose frames. I do want to get to that as well. But let's get some emails in, because Andy's sitting here thinking, why am I here?
Yeah,
he could be doing anything else.
Next week's emails will be even better.
Email, we get email, we get your email every
yes,
day.
We do.
Here's they leave them on the doorstep today. Now.
Yeah.
Don't ring the doorbell, that'll set Dougal off.
Don't ring that bell, exactly. I know, and thank goodness my speakers are turned down. Otherwise, it'll be going bananas. Right, let's talk about the emails and get into a few. Right, what have you got, Andy?
So this first one is from Dovrik. Hello to everyone at Tech Talk. After catching up on the discussions about the new RNIB reading service, I thought I would share my experience as a completely blind person using a Mac, iOS and the Orbit 20 reader. Mm. It is exciting to have access to so much more material, especially the more obscure academic texts that have been recorded for students over the years. It's also good to have a much improved audio quality compared to that on Overdrive. Using the library via EasyReader has been very simple. The interface and downloading is straightforward. The website has some peculiarities, such as the odd thing not being as clearly labelled as it could be, i.e. the toggle for advanced search on a Mac requires going into a separate group. And it surprises me that an RNIB-designed set of pages feels a little cluttered. It took a few goes, but the two-stage download works very well on a Mac, particularly with Braille files, which I can download straight onto the Orbit Reader connected to my Mac Mini. Access to the Braille material is something I had been looking forward to, and it's a great pleasure to be able to download the items so easily. As Robin mentioned, the website does feel a bit like V1 at the moment, but that'll come in time. To be able to get hold of this stuff, even the books where volunteers suddenly say, "There is a Greek phrase here which I cannot understand," is a real step change. That's from Dovrik.
Yeah, well, more chat on that. And from the Mac perspective as well, although I will say one of the challenges, Robin, with the Mac, and funny enough, you and I were talking about this just before we started recording, is that, you know, you do have a lot of interaction with a Mac. You don't just move around the screen to the group itself. I mean, for example, if you're on a Windows Explorer and you navigate round, you can jump from tree view to the item list quite easily. Whereas on a Mac, you've got to, you know, uninteract with the sidebar and then navigate to the window and then get into the group, and you've got to interact with that and make sure you don't interact too far, or you'll be interacting with something you didn't want to interact with, and then you're in the title and you can't get out again. You know, it is a bit of a learning curve, and that applies to websites as well. So on a Mac it may seem complicated or it may seem unusual, but of course on a PC it would probably be just like a breeze. So, you know, that's the challenge with a Mac sometimes, isn't it, Robin?
Yeah, I mean, it's there are different ways of surfing on a Mac. In Safari you can choose DOM mode or group mode, but yeah, it's definitely a different and it's very disconcerting, whereas you're, you know, on the PC you're just used to an admittedly very long linear page on a web page, whereas this, yeah, in some ways it could be more efficient having to jump over things in groups and then interact with them only if you want to, but if you're coming from the PC it can be really, really weird. Yeah. I still prefer how the PC has a much more defined focus. So, you know, if you leave one application on the PC and alt-tab to something else and then come back, you'll be guaranteed that your focus is in the same place. That's not a guarantee on the Mac at all, particularly in a web page. So they take some getting used to. I still find the PC more efficient to drive from the keyboard. But if you're a long-standing Mac user, you might just have got better tips, like, for example, making sure that the tick box in the voiceover settings to automatically interact as you tab around different controls in an application is ticked. And that can help with doing away with a lot of the interacting and uninteracting type things. But yeah, it's a disconcertingly strange beast when you're moving over to the Mac.
Would that solve the problem? Because I've had this issue. Well, I have this issue every day. I go to Google Chrome, for example, and immediately it throws me into the toolbar. And, you know, I've got to kind of navigate out of the toolbar to get to the window where the HTML content is and then interact with that. And even if I go to a new page, it'll kind of throw me back out again, and I have to go back and interact again. Can I use that?
That's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about, yeah. Mm. So a few tabs would take you from the toolbar down into the web page, and yes, you may have to do that when you go to another web page. VO end, which is VO function right arrow, will take you from the toolbar right at the top right down to the place where you can then interact with the web page, kind of at the end of the reading order. But yeah, it's just a bit weird like that, and it takes some getting used to.
Yeah, it certainly does, but it is actually a really good experience. I will say it's a good experience, and I love the Mac. I think I kind of accept the trade-off on that because of what else the Mac can do. I really do love the Mac. There, I said it. Yeah. There, as if you didn't know. Right, Andy, give us another email after that shocking revelation.
Thank you for your Tech Talk show, writes Will. First time I've listened. I would like to comment on two things. Firstly, the RNIB reading service. I think, for what it's worth, the implementation is fine. It will take some getting used to, but remember, this is the first version. Also, with podcast clients, Overcast is not a subscription-based service. And did you know, with Overcast and Pocket Casts, which is my player of choice, you can cut out silences, thereby saving listening times. Thank you for your show. That's from Will. And there's another one here on a similar note.
Sorry, just to say, Andy, if they did that with us, the show would be about 10 seconds long. okay.
So yeah, there's
it's
one
a good
here.
Thing there's not a smart feature for cutting out waffle. That would we just have the jingles.
Yeah, exactly. Just be the hello and goodbye.
So there's a very similar email here. This one's from Rod. Hi, Stephen. I don't like to correct Robin, but the Overdrive app does come free with paid for upgrade. One great advantage of Overdrive is the ability to quickly flick between chapters. Please take note, Stephen. Please can chapters be the next upgrade for Tech Talk? Cheers. That's from Rod. Mm-hmm. I know this is something, Stephen, you and I have been talking about, podcast chapters.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, Robert and I were discussing apps that can do this. And again, on the Mac side, there are apps you can do. What was the one you said to me earlier?
Forecast,
yeah. Which is the same, that's from the people who brought you Overcast, isn't it?
Yes, talking of Overcast. Mm. So, Rod, thanks for that. Absolutely hands up. Although you did say Overdrive twice there when you meant Overcast. But yeah, so we're all human.
fight.
This is definitely not my week. And, well, I mean, it's a theme, isn't it, where people correct me on mistakes that I've made. So, yeah, it's not a subscription.
Welcome to my world.
You don't have to pay monthly. I think you did at one point, but people are going to write in and correct me again. But so I'm going to retract it. You pay a one-off and it turns off adverts. There are text-based adverts on screen in the different screens of the Overcast app. And you can turn those off with a one-off in-app purchase.
There's not going to be a test at the end of this, is there? Because I'm completely lost.
I don't know. Maybe Andy will pull one up in the end.
Yeah, right, okay, let's get another email.
Email from Graham. Hi guys, listening to your latest podcast, someone mentioned about a radio app so that they could listen to BBC Radio 4. Now, I live in Canada, but I use an app called Simple Radio, which is from the App Store. It's very voiceover friendly, and I have BBC Radio 4 set as a favourite, and BBC Oxford as well. But have you tried just asking Siri to play BBC Radio 4 or whatever your local stations you have? This is a relatively recent update to Siri, and I can use it here in Canada to play radio stations. Now, if you want to play a radio station over cellular, then go to Music in Settings and then make sure that streaming is turned on. Only if you want it for Wi-Fi, it doesn't matter. Regards, that's from Graham.
Okay, interesting idea.
Me.
Go on then.
Yeah, so it's actually a weird bug or probably a rights issue. But in the UK, where it, the home of the BBC, we are the only country in the world that Siri, you cannot ask Siri to play radio stations. So if you say, hey, S-Lady, play BBC Radio 4, she'll say, here's Radio 4, and nothing will happen. So it works everywhere else in the world. It's been well documented. People have been complaining because we, after all, pay our license fee uniquely in the UK. That's how the BBC is funded. But yeah, there's something strange going on there. Obviously, you can use TuneIn or any number of apps to get them. I'm not 100% sure whether they have Siri shortcut support so that you can then ask for Radio 4, for example. But yeah, there's a unique feature whereby you can't ask the S Lady in the UK for all those lovely BBC channels.
Well, I tried an app out this week, and it just I came up in my Twitter feed. Someone said, oh, have you tried this app? It's really good. And I thought, oh, yeah, it'll be terrible. It'll be inaccessible. Useless. I'll show them. That was actually not bad. It's called Broadcasts. And have you tried this one, Robin?
Not heard of it.
So it seems to be, I thought it was like another aggregate, like TuneIn or Radio Player or any of those kind of things. But actually, it just seems to be for, well, all that's on there are Irish radio stations. All the RTE channels are on it. Now, if you like Irish radio, great. Two things. One, the app is fully accessible, which is brilliant, but you can also add your own streams to it. So if you know the stream of what you're wanting to play, you can add the stream in. And you can save it as a favourite and play it. And I don't know if you can get rid of the RTE ones. Maybe they're set, but I haven't tried to get rid of them. But it's actually not a bad little app. But as I say, if you love Irish radio, you're going to love it. If you don't, then you can add your own streams, which is quite nice. I don't know what's going to happen with that down the line, whether it is an RTE thing or whether it's just been developed by a group of people who've just decided to make an accessible radio app. But it certainly works, so well worth mentioning. I think we should move on because we've got so many emails to get through. I think what we'll do next week, guys, is I know we've got Andrew on from Galloway Society, but I think we'll focus more on a lot of your emails next week because there are so many to get through and we want to get to them. So we will continue with those next week. But before we go, we've got 10 minutes left. I just want to mention another skill. A couple of skills, I suppose, but skills for the Amazon Echo linked with hardware. I didn't even know this until today, that you could link up your Amazon Echo with a specific printer that you can buy, and Robin has all the details.
It's really, really cool how you can work with lists on the Echo, because you don't have to just stick to the lists that are provided in there by default, which is shopping and to-dos, I think it is. But you can create your own and you can add things to them and you can tick things off them all by voice. So let's ask her what lists we have at the moment. Alexa, what are my lists?
You have three lists, Robin, to remember: shopping list and to-do list.
Okay, so shopping list and to-do list, those are the default ones, and Robin to remember was added on by me, and we'll get onto that in a second, but let's see what's on our shopping list, for example. Alexa, read my shopping list.
You have one item on your shopping list, Queen Greatest Hits digital download.
Okay, and we can add something to it. Alexa, add chocolate to my shopping list.
Chocolate added to your shopping list.
Very cool. Alexa, what's on my shopping list?
You have two items on your shopping list, chocolate and Queen Greatest Hits digital download.
So you can bring up the list in the A-Lady app on your phone, for example, by going to the A-Lady app, tapping on the hamburger, you know, the menu item in the top left, and then tapping on lists, and you can tick those off in the app. You can also print them, which we'll look at a little bit later on. But if you want to create a new list, it couldn't be easier. You just say something like, let's think of a list. Let's have a packing list, for example. Alexa, add shoes to my packing list.
I couldn't find a list called packing. Should I create one?
Yes.
I've created packing list and added shoes to it.
Couldn't it be more simple? Alexa, what's on my packing list?
You have one item on your packing list, shoes.
There you go. Now, when you tick something off on the app or verbally, which we'll do in a second, then it disappears from the list. It's the same as saying remove. So let's try that. Alexa, remove shoes from my packing list.
I've ticked off shoes from packing.
And let's tick off, instead of remove, that Queen digital download from our shopping list, for example. Alexa, tick off Queen Greatest Hits digital download from shopping list.
I've ticked off Queen Greatest Hits digital download from your shopping list.
So it's that easy to add things to existing lists, to new lists, and to remove them or tick them off. It's the same thing. Really useful. Now, if you've got a Hewlett-Packard wireless or Wi-Fi enabled printer, then you can install the HP printer skill. You can do it verbally, but it's probably worth going to the skill store, because you'll have to connect it, you'll have to link it to your Hewlett-Packard account. And if you haven't got a Hewlett-Packard account, then you need to create one first. And to do that, you need to go to the Hewlett-Packard website and sign in, and then you can link your skill to it. So if you search for HP printer in the skill store, then you can follow the instructions there. Now, the invocation is actually my printer. So you'd say, "Hey lady, ask my printer to print my shopping list." For example, you could do that. I won't bother because it'll just waste paper. So you can, you know, all of your different lists, you can just say, "Hey lady, ask my printer to print my Robin to Remember list." Now, the my printer skill has loads of other capabilities as well. You can say, "Ask my printer to print a Crayola colouring page," or "print a colouring page for kids," "print today's crossword," "print a number puzzle game," or "print a word search game." So there are loads of things there. Oh, and by the way, lined paper, squared paper, "print a checklist." So that, I think, would give you little boxes next to a line where you could write the item and then you could tick the box, and even "print next month's calendar," for example. So there's loads of stuff you can do there to make your HP wireless printer much more voice friendly with the HP printer skill. Brilliant. So there you go. Have fun with lists and have fun with printing them and much more too.
That's incredible. So that's on any wireless HP printer, or is it specific to a model?
No, any printer, any HP one anyway. And I'm sure there'll be something similar for Epson and Canon and things like that. So why cover those particular things? Well, lists are really important. And as I said earlier on in the show, if you want to keep track of what's in your fridge, obviously you could get some fancy, you know, smart fridge, which you scan in and out things as you put them in and out of your fridge on the barcodes or whatever. But just being able to call to the air and say, you know, "Add milk," or "add whatever cheese to my fridge list," or something. And then you can keep track of exactly what's in your fridge. The shopping list, you could add things to as and when you needed to buy them. And when you go to the supermarket, obviously you can bring that list up on your phone. But also, if you are isolated and you are, you know, these volunteers that can help do your shopping, using the My Printer skill to print off that list so that you can just hand it to them to take, I think, is a really powerful thing. And then lastly, all of those activities, you know, creating a colouring thing for children to colour in, or print a puzzle, print a crossword, all of these things could be really useful if you've got other people in the family who need to be entertained while you're trying to do your job, and they happen to have eyes that can, you know, access this sort of printed material. So yeah, those tips were good to include in case people weren't aware of the sort of things that you can use the A-Lady for.
Well, I tell you have redeemed yourself today with that one. That, you know, after a bit of an interesting start to the show. You've redeemed yourself. That is a brilliant thing. I had no idea. Did you know about that, Andy?
No idea whatsoever, no.
That's incredible. And like you say, there probably are equivalents for the other printers, but you know, you can only go with what you've got. And I've got an HP printer at home, and I'll be definitely checking out that skill after the show. That is absolutely brilliant. Speaking of the Echo, just one more thing, because we did talk a bit about Skype last week, and we've talked about things you can do, you know, to contact people. But there are other ways to call, and you can actually call mobile phones with your Amazon Echo.
Yeah, and we probably neglected to kind of cover the real basics. So you can do echo-to-echo calling. We mentioned that last week. You can do Skype. We covered that last week. But yeah, you can just say, "Hey, lady, call," and then, you know, Joe Smith or whatever, and it will ask if you've got more than one telephone number in your contacts on your phone, say, which you've shared with the A-Lady app on your phone. You've given permissions to access that set of contacts on your phone. Then she'll say, you know, do you mean home or mobile? And it'll just ring. And also you can say, give me the number of my local Boots chemists, or give me the address of the nearest cinema, things like that. And if you ask for a number, you can then ask to call it as well.
Now, that's useful, because a lot of blind people and probably still use the 195 service, which, you know, I must admit is okay, but I've found much quicker results with Google. And, you know, that's fine if you can do that. But the whole point of 195 is it's for those people who can't use that. Being able to just ask for a number of something. I mean, is it going to get that right all the time, though? I mean, because, you know, I still get a lot of things from Amazon Echo that say things like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that one yet," or, you know, "get back to you in 5 years," or, you know, whatever its response is.
Obviously, it's only as good as its database if you're talking about local businesses and stuff. If it hasn't got the number, or it hasn't got the right number, then obviously you're stuck. The ones that are using your contacts, it's as good as the data that you've put in your contacts. So it should get it right every single time. Now, you can actually say, call 0800-269-545, for example, if you want the AbilityNet free phone inquiries number, and it should also try and call that. But that's when it might get it wrong, if you're just verbally enunciating phone number.
Siri's good at screwing that up as well. Okay, well, that's really interesting. That was brilliant. Thank you for that, Robin. And Andy, thank you again for coming on. Please, both of you, stay safe, because we need you back here next week. We're going to keep doing this as long as we can get away with it. We've been saying that for years. Before the virus. Keep with us, and also check out our, you can check out the podcast if you're listening on Freeview. If you're listening on the podcast, then great, you're here, you're subscribed, amazing. And you can also keep in touch with us as well. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. We haven't done Ask Tech Talk for a couple of weeks. We'll try and get back into that in the next week or so as well, with the Technology for Life team, who are all working from home as well. But from my home, from Robin's home, and from Andrew's home, thank you so much for listening. And we'll catch you again on next week's Tech Talk. Bye, guys.
Thanks, guys. Keep well.